So today is easily one of my favorite Sundays out of the year. And it might sound strange for a pastor to have a favorite Sunday, but I do, and I just feel like you all need to know about that. So I look forward to this particular Sunday because of what it represents and also because of what it includes. It represents the closing of one chapter of God's activity and the opening of a brand new chapter of his activity. And I just think that's cool. It includes time for us to remember and to celebrate what God has done. That is absolutely important. And it also gives us time to prayerfully discern God's leading and his direction for the year ahead. And that's also extremely exciting. So I love every part of what this Sunday represents. So in addition to a State of the Church section that you're going to hear today, and also a section where I'm going to share how you can be involved with what God is doing at Sherwood in 2025, I'm also going to share with you all a church theme that God has laid on my heart for this year. And every time I do this, I try to explain what I mean when I say God has laid a specific theme on my heart. So a number of years ago, I noticed that God would bring specific concepts to my attention, sometimes for months at a time. I would be reading devotionally in the Word, and this topic would just keep popping up. And then I would go into my prayer time, and God would bring it up in prayer. And then I'd have conversations with different people, different settings, and that just so happened to be the idea that the conversation was all about. I'd go on social media, and I'd start to see that idea pop up on social media. It seemed like everywhere I was looking, the same concept was coming back around. And over time, I realized that these breadcrumbs were not random. It was actually a part of God answering my prayers. I am constantly praying, God, give me wisdom to serve your church. Help me to see smaller needs before they become major problems. God, help me to see what you're doing, what your timing is, where you are leading within the life of the church. And those breadcrumbs are a part of God's answer to that. Over the years, and this is my 13th year of recognizing those and sharing a type of church theme for a year, but over those years, God has shown areas of need and issues of weakness, places of growth, as well as steps for greater kingdom effectiveness. I am grateful to God that he is always preparing us for what he has prepared for us. Now, believe it or not, this is our fourth January together. Time flies, doesn't it? So this is our fourth time that I'm sharing a church theme with the people right here at Sherwood. And if you happen to be taking notes, or if you're not taking notes along the way, I will recap what those themes have been. In 2022, the theme was all about vision, seeing people awakened by the gospel to a life of knowing Christ and making him known. Throughout that year, I did multiple series to help people understand what it looked like to know Christ relationally and what it looks like to live on mission with him. In 2023, the theme was share his story. God did not enter our story. Instead, we entered his. And his story is one that is about testimony and evangelism and the gospel as well as stewardship. In 2024, the theme was forward, take the next step. And I shared 12 different messages in four of the most strategic areas for spiritual growth: stewardship, discipleship, community, as well as relationship. The entire goal in this last year was helping people take their next step of obedience with God. Your step is going to be different than mine. Mine will be different than somebody else's. Everybody's at a different place. But whatever that next step was, we wanted people to take it in obedience with God. So in 2025, the theme is seek him. What does it look like to seek him in every part of our life? Here's another way of thinking about it. How does seeking God lead to a life of incredible adventure with him? I want us to pull out that last piece for just a moment. Scripture is filled with amazing stories of God being absolutely involved in the world that he created. He sets up kings and he brings down kingdoms. He sends plagues to one group and he brings provision to another. He wipes out enemy armies in one chapter, and then he covenants himself to unworthy people in another chapter. His ways are mysterious and they're profound. On a cosmic level, he commands angel armies and constantly pushing back forces of darkness. And yet on a micro scale, he hears our every prayer and he knows when a single swallow falls to the ground. His ways are profound and precise, and they're planned, and they're righteous, and they're loving, and here it is, and they're good. All his ways are good. And even though he can accomplish everything by himself, he is all-powerful, he's omnipotent, he chooses to invite us to join with him in his activity. He invites us to join with him in his work, to be a part of his activity, to engage in something that is much bigger than ourselves. He doesn't have to do that, but he does. And here's the reason I'm so excited about it. There is something inside of all of us that calls out for all of that. Humanity craves adventure. Humanity is desperate for a life of purpose. We want to live with the knowledge that our lives have significance, that we've somehow made an impact, that our world is a better place because we've been a part of it. We're drawn to those types of people that live life that way, or we're also drawn to stories of people who have lived their lives in that way. And that is not a coincidence. Those desires have been placed within us by our Creator. And here's the thing. If we do not experience adventure on that level with God, we try to create adventure of some kind by ourselves. And let me just tell you, our idea of adventure and God's are two completely different things. Sometimes our idea of an adventure in a week is getting all three kids out of Walmart without a complete meltdown. Complete different type of adventure there. Sometimes to stimulate those feelings of adventure, some people, not me, some people get on a roller coaster, because they want to feel that thrill, that excitement of experiencing some type of adventure. We go to movies many times because we live vicariously the adventure of somebody else's life. Here's the thing. I'm not saying for a moment that we don't have adventures ourselves. I'm not saying for a moment that we don't experience purpose at different points. We absolutely do. What I am saying is human attempts will always fall short of divine adventure. We cannot manufacture an adventure like God's. When he calls us to join with him in his kingdom activity, there's going to be ups and there's going to be downs. There's going to be victories, there's going to be defeats. There's going to be pleasure, there's going to be pain. And yet through every single bit of that, it helps remind us that we're alive and that our lives are making a difference in this world. Listen to the way Theodore Roosevelt tried to capture that idea from a secular sense. Here's what he said, and I quote, "It is not the critic who counts. The credit belongs to the man who's actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who comes up short again and again because there is no effort without error and shortcoming. That's the one who knows great enthusiasms and great devotion, who spends himself on a worthy cause, who at the best knows the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat." Here's what he was saying in a secular sense. Roosevelt was challenging people, do great things. Scripture's invitation is join a great God. When we join with God in his activities and he is living his life in and through us, he lives great things through us. So where could we even begin to experience that type of life? 1 Chronicles 16:11. It's in your notes. It says this, "Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. By the way, that is our memory verse for the month of January. The entire focus is to seek God with every part of our life. We are to seek his presence, or as some translations would say, seek his face, and we are to do that continually. God wants us to look for him in prayer, to pursue him in scripture, to experience him in silence, to worship him through the trials of life. He wants us to seek his counsel when it comes to decisions. He wants us to seek him in every part of our life. And for the person who truly seeks God, God promises reward and provision and deliverance and so many other things that we're going to cover over the course of this year. But in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, it gives one of the greatest promises of all. Here's what the text says. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Think of it like this. Adventure may be the path, but God will be the prize. On the other end of a life of seeking him, he's saying, you'll find me. You'll get to know me. You'll be in my presence. And when we're in the presence of God, we experience the journey of a lifetime. So I invite you today, go with me in your Bibles, Matthew's Gospel chapter number 6. We will be in verse number 33. Matthew 6:33, the principle that we're going to see, a bigger principle from this text, is when we seek the king, we encounter the kingdom. And the opposite is also true. When we seek the kingdom, we're going to encounter the king. Both of those go hand in hand together. So I'm addressing the topic, when we seek him and his kingdom. Here's what the text says, Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 6, verse 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Let's pray. Father, we ask today that, Lord, you would allow us to be able to experience a time together in this room where your Spirit not only walks us into all truth, but excites our hearts about the way that you desire for us to be involved in your kingdom activity in the year ahead. Lord, may you graciously minister in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 6:33 is at the end of an entire section where Jesus is addressing worry. In fact, the words worry or anxious, they pop up in verses 25, 27, 28, 31, and 34. And Jesus comes at it from a number of different angles. There's two times in those verses where he just comes right out and he says, do not be worried. And then he begins to ask questions, questions that we all need to ask at different times. Why are you anxious? Or at another point, he basically asks the question, what are you accomplishing by being worried and stressed out? Like, how is that actually helping in any part of your life? So that brings a very important question for every single one of us as we read the text, and that is, what were they so worried about? What were they anxious about? What were they stressing out about? Well, the text actually tells us they were worried about life based on what we find in verse 25. It tells us they were anxious about having enough food and enough water and enough clothing, also found in verse 25. They were stressed out about their work, about caring for their families. They were stressed out about providing for their needs, found in verses 26 through 28. Ironically, things have not changed much in the last 2,000 years. We still find ourselves needing the necessities of life. And honestly, there's still moments along the way that we get worried, we get stressed. Will there be enough? Will I be able to meet that need? Is it going to come in time? Now, unless you are independently wealthy, the way you address those needs is you go to work. Amen. Somebody help me out. This is a quiet, I know everybody's like freezing outside, but come on, like listen. Okay, by the way, work is a good thing. Some people think work is a part of the fall. No, work was created before the fall. It's a part of the gift of God. And all I can say is you will see how much of a gift it is after you've been sick for a long time and you cannot work and you get a chance to work again, you will be grateful to God to be able to go to work. Work is a blessing. So it's a blessing from God, but here's the catch. We can get so focused on our work, so focused on producing more, so focused on going faster, so focused on stressing out about paying bills and making a living that we stop living and we just start existing. You and I were not created to be slaves to work. We were created to know God and to be in right fellowship and experience Him. And while work is fantastic, we are to work with Him. We are to be looking for Him through our work, trusting Him through our work, seeking Him in everything we do. So verse number 33 is the alternative to a life of work and worry. What's the alternative? Jesus gives it to us. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That's the alternative. Work and worry, or seek first His kingdom and trust that He can bring everything else we need. That leads into our key thought for the morning. Those who seek the kingdom encounter the King. Those who encounter the King experience provision in His presence. I want you to get this, your mind around this thought. God meets our needs as we seek His kingdom. God meets our needs as we seek His kingdom. Okay, so I find it interesting that Jesus' advice to those who were stressed out and worried about whether they would have enough, His advice was not go get a side hustle. It wasn't work your 40 and then Uber another 20 on top of that. His focus and solution for those who were stressed out through work was not just work more. His solution was change your focus and seek the kingdom. We were not created to be slaves to work. We were created to know God and to experience life with Him. And a part of experiencing life with Him is He invites us to join with Him in His kingdom activity. So now we have a question to ask. What is His kingdom and how do we seek it? The kingdom of God is not heaven. The kingdom of God is not the church. The kingdom of God is not a make-believe place for medieval enthusiasts. The kingdom of God is not a geographical region. The kingdom of God focuses on a place of dominion as well as rule. Every kingdom has a king. And the expanse of that kingdom is a measurement of the influence of that king. So Dallas Willard said it like this: the kingdom is the range of God's effective will, where what He wants done is done. What Dallas Willard was doing is he was defining the kingdom by the reach, by the expanse of God's influence out into this world. Vance Pittman, he brings more clarity. Here was his statement. The kingdom of God is God's sovereign activity in the world, resulting in people being in right relationship with Himself. So whenever God's people take the gospel to where it has never been, whenever God's people bring the influence of Christ into a dark area somewhere within the city, whenever God's people live on mission with Him and they influence neighbors and they influence different parts of this world, and that results in somebody coming into right relationship with God, you are seeing the realm and the expanse of God's kingdom. His influence is expanding out into other areas. So now let's go back into the text. Instead of worrying about the necessities of life, Jesus teaches us focus on God's sovereign activity in the world, and He'll take care of the necessities of your life. That's what He's teaching us to do. Seek first how to expand His influence in the world. And He says, and I'll take care of the other pieces that you need. Make your first priority to expand His influence, and God cares for the daily affairs of our life. When we focus on the kingdom, He focuses on meeting our needs. That is where the adventure happens. Did you know, for us to do that, it is going to require us to trust God and not ourselves. Because our first instinct is, if there's a shortage of what we need at the end of the month, our first instinct is, how do I go meet the need myself? And sometimes that is God's moment, his opportunity to say, trust me with this. You stay focused on what I've called you to do, and trust me that I can handle these pieces for you. There's an adventure that happens in that. A part of that adventure is also when we get to a place of consciously saying no to self and worry so that we can say yes to God and to worship. Our following him in obedience, our participating in what God is doing around the world, it is an aspect of our worship. It's been said, adventure starts where plans end. And that is a great correlation in this particular area. When we walk away from our plans and our best efforts to pursue his kingdom and his righteousness, we align ourselves with the activity as well as the adventure of God. By seeking his kingdom, this is back in your notes. By seeking his kingdom, we focus on the heartbeat of God. By seeking his kingdom, we invest our resources in something that will last for eternity. And by seeking his kingdom, we experience God's provision for our needs. Those are three top-level ideas of what it looks like and the benefits of seeking his kingdom. So now, as a church body, this last year, a piece I've been sharing now for the last several years, it's not about our church, it's about his kingdom. As we have made a focus, how can we be about God's kingdom activity? What does the adventure look like from this last year? How has God provided for our needs as we've focused on seeking his kingdom? So here's a big part of what that picture is. As a church, we saw 249 people make a profession of faith in Jesus Christ this last year alone. Praise God for that. There was another 116 new members who were added to the congregation, 88 others who followed through in baptism. God increased the Sunday morning worship attendance as well as increased our Connect group attendance. This last year, 228 more people went from large crowd into small group gatherings. That's an 8% increase. Praise God for that. The pastoral team this last year made 1,965 sympathy care contacts, 786 hospital visits. 2024 turned out to be, once again, the largest total giving year in the history of the church. God allowed us to be able to exceed our annual budget of $5.8 million, receive an additional $44,000 on top of that for world missions, as well as another $327,000 for designated gifts to update facilities around the property. I'm going to share a little bit more about Meet the Need in just a moment. Those numbers represent the big part of kind of what's going on. But now let's dig into some of the individual ministries, because you have to hear on a micro level what it is that God's doing. And this is just a tidbit, just a snippet of what he's doing. Our children's ministry had over 600 volunteers and participants at VBS. 21 children made a profession of faith in Christ. 12 more indicated that they wanted to be baptized. Our fifth graders went on a mission trip to Clarksville, Georgia to serve with a church plant. While they were there, they shared the gospel at block parties, a nursing home, as well as an ice cream social. Our fifth graders led six children and two adults to Jesus on that mission trip. Our fifth graders did. Train them in the gospel early and they can live a lifetime on mission with God. The student ministry saw 14 professions of faith after speaking in five local schools. They launched a discipleship program at one school, had over 25 in attendance every single week. We have more and more students who were seeking deeper discipleship as well as biblical training. The young adults ministry saw an increase in Sunday morning worship attendance. They saw over 200 different people attending Connect groups throughout the week. two professions of faith, four more that were baptized. The Alpha Pregnancy Center had over 4,300 points of contact with clients. They did 418 ultrasounds, 526 pregnancy tests, 303 people involved in their classes, which, by the way, those numbers represent the highest level ever recorded in each of those different categories. They shared the gospel 465 times, saw 16 professions of faith, and here it is, 60% of at-risk women who were going to choose abortion chose life after seeing the ultrasound. To God be the glory for that. The worship ministry added 20 new choir and orchestra members. They wrote, recorded, and produced a live album with 14 songs, which, by the way, today happens to be the day that that is released on all streaming platforms, and tonight is a night of worship. If you want to know what's on that album, come back out tonight. All right, so here's the other piece of that. On Spotify, Sherwood Worship saw 134% growth in listeners, 34% increase in streaming, 256% growth in playlist additions, and people listening from 78 countries around the world. The Wonder Christmas Concert had over 4,000 people in attendance with 25 professions of faith. The Sports and Rec Ministry had 134 coaches and 25 volunteers who poured into 1,306 players from over 80 churches in the area. And get this, 40% of those who showed up have no church affiliation whatsoever. By sharing the gospel and emphasizing discipleship, they saw 23 professions of faith in Jesus. 14 of the coaches reported sharing the gospel for the first time as a coach. And nine coaches reconciled other relationships off the field by learning how to walk through biblical conflict resolution. And three adults came to faith in Jesus through Sports and Rec this last year. It's more than games. It's about the expansion of God's kingdom. The Hope Center received over 3,600 shoeboxes for Operation Christmas Child. They purchased beds and placed them for children who have no bed in 95 different homes in our city. They saw six people baptized, helped three men transition off the street into Christian-based rehabilitation programs. They delivered, get this, 256,000 pounds of food to 3,784 different families this last year. They served over 1,700 meals to the homeless, enlisted over 500 volunteers to serve and engage our city, offered 17 life skill classes with 289 students involved. In response to Hurricane Helene, the Hope Center and those who worked there worked with 20 other area churches to do debris removal and distribute 250 pallets of goods to Valdosta, Douglas, Fitzgerald, and Hazelhurst. My friends, that's gospel living. That is kingdom expansion. That is working with other churches for the furtherance of the gospel in this area. After observing the incredible work and the impact of the Hope Center in this community, our friends at Coca-Cola Consolidated gave us an $800,000 matching gift to accelerate the work of the Hope Center going forward. Praise God. Since then, we've received matching funds for $200,000 to go along with that. It's God's activity. The Albany Biblical Counseling Center had 733 counseling sessions with people. That is, they walk with people through trauma, through grief, through anxiety, addiction, divorce, life issues as a whole. They saw two other professions of faith there. The Communications and Media Department launched the new Sherwood website as well as Vine Resources this last year. They oversaw the installation of the LED wall that is behind me, directional signage all the way around the building. You no longer have to wonder where the bathroom is at. It is clearly marked when you're on this property. They provided media help for banquets, student camps, concerts, and worship albums. They took, get this, over 45,000 pictures this last year. They didn't use all 45,000, but they took over 45. That to further the gospel online, they reported Sherwood services were watched in 37 different countries, and over 30,000 hours of messages were viewed on YouTube, Vimeo, and our website. By the way, the most watched sermon in 2024 on Facebook was busyness, packed schedules, and no margin. We're going to come back to that. That's important. Stick that off to the side in your mind. Okay, through efforts of the marketing department, the social media content of this church reached over 198,000 unique users with more than 648,000 views all around the world. Oh, by the way, they also completed 251 projects over the course of the year. They put that in as well. At SCA, God blessed with the largest enrollment in the last 10 years, 418 students. In addition to strong academic success, they earned state championships, varsity boys tennis, one-act play, varsity football. They did 2 mission trips, saw 13 professions of faith in Christ, and 9 different baptisms at SCA. Sherwood Residency Program just began 2024, started with 3 levels of developing leaders for the next generation. They established partnerships at Liberty University, Baptist University of Florida, Truett McConnell, and Samford. They partnered with This Is the Gospel to produce Sherwood on Mission classes. They graduated 28 people out of those classes at the end of this last year who are now equipped to live on mission with God. And by the way, this month they start SCA on mission, students on mission, a 201 level for Sherwood on mission, as well as a ministry training cohort that all starts this month. Our updated This Is the Gospel website continued to reach different languages used by mission organizations, churches, individuals around the world. But here's a new addition from this last year. We were approached earlier in 2024 by a group who gets tablets into prisons. And they ask, would you all be willing to give material to put on these tablets so that prisoners in 100 different prisons can read about religious education? We put our 4 This Is the Gospel books on those tablets. And here's what they reported. Since the spring of 2024, there have been 20,834 prisoners who have completed all 4 books. And another 7,377 who are currently in process with the books right now. Praise God. Listen, God's kingdom does not end where the prison wires begin. God's kingdom goes even beyond that. God allowed the people from this church to serve on mission trips in Ethiopia, Zambia, Newfoundland, Thailand, and Clarkston. The women's ministry had 2 very successful events serving women from over 53 different churches. By the way, that's kingdom. It's not just about how can we bless people here. It's how do we bless the body of Christ. We hosted the Christian Worldview Film Festival. It brought 1,000 different filmmakers and writers and producers from 46 different states and 20 different countries. God gave us a chance to invest in and to influence the filmmakers of tomorrow. And I know it sounds crazy, but believe it or not, that's the short version of what God has done just this last year. Amen. The adventures that God allows us to be a part of are so much better than any adventure that we could try to manufacture ourselves. God has blessed immensely. He has given us a chance to be engaged in His kingdom locally and regionally as well as globally. Through your investment of time, resources, and participation, we've been able to extend the light of the gospel to areas around the world that were dark and closed to the gospel. There are people that we've been able to reach in this last year with the gospel that you and I will never see on this side of eternity. I've shared it before. It's not about our church. It's about His kingdom. When we seek His kingdom, He cares for our needs. As a church, we have been swimming in the favor of God. Amen. He's shown us favor in daily areas with the ministries right here. But he has also shown us favor by revealing needs for the future. The leadership of Sherwood, comprised of the pastoral team, comprised of directors at different ministries, comprised of the vision planning team. We've been watching not only the growth of the church, but also the health of the people in the church. We've been watching there's strong trends of growth, but we've also seen there's certain areas of struggle. We've been praying and saying, God, give wisdom. And God has brought clarity on what the path forward should look like. So on Sunday evening, February the 2nd, just a couple of weeks from now, there's going to be a night of vision, and I'm going to share the specifics of that on that night. I encourage you to join us there. With everything that you've heard so far, how can you be involved in what God is doing in 2025? Here it is. It's in your notes. Very quick. Pursue Jesus daily. It all flows out of an intimate relationship with him. Pray specifically. When we give out prayer lists, pray for those things specifically. Invite regularly. There are people that are your neighbors and coworkers and family members that they don't have a church home. Invite them to come and to join you. Serve enthusiastically. Find out where God has gifted you in a place of need and allow those two to align together. And then give generously. As long as the Lord tarries, there are disciples to be made, there's ministry to do, there is a city to love, and there is a world to reach with the gospel. Our heart is to continue to see people awakened by the gospel to a life of knowing Christ and making him known. So over the last 13 years, Sherwood has invited people to be a part of the Meet the Need campaign. And for those who have been a part of the church for a while, you know what this is. For those who are brand new to the church, I want to try to explain it to you in the next 2.5 minutes. Okay, so if you've been here over the last 3 years, you know my MO, my mode of operation is not to pressure or guilt anybody into anything. I believe 100%, unless the Spirit of God is prompting and leading, you need to allow him to guide it from there. So I want you to just hear what's happening and see if it's something God's calling you to be a part of. So back in 2012, there were pieces for the Meet the Need campaign. That is, it was originally a $26.5 million project. It was a one-year giving and matching campaign, 5 missional endeavors taking place. There was construction that was happening at SCA, at the Hope Center, at the church right here, building and updating facilities, all of those pieces. And this was above and beyond giving. So a part of that original vision was that there was going to be planting 32 different churches in the sinned cities around North America. For those of you that are unfamiliar with that term, sinned cities are large cities in North America that have a massive unchurched population. There are 83% of the U.S. population lives in one of those major sinned cities. If we are to reach the country, we have to have churches in the places that people live. So remember, it's not about our church, it's about his kingdom. By the grace of God, in 2023, we finished number 32 in that lineup. So that part has now gone forward. In this last year, through the generosity of God's people, here's what things worked out with meeting the pledges. We saw this last year. Here was the pledged amount, 1,013,000. And here's what came in. 1,126,000. That is the 8th year in a row that God has exceeded the amount that was originally pledged. Also, a part of our Meet the Need campaign is we tell you all, these are the deliverables. These are the pieces that the money is going towards. A part of that is servicing debt. And so this, remember, it started with $26.5 million. Here's the new updated amount. We are down to $3.6 million at this point. Praise the Lord for that. I am still praying. I'm praying that this church will be debt-free by 2027. That's my prayers. And if you happen to have $3.6 million, you can be a part of answering those prayers this morning. All right. So we have been sharing with you all what the Meet the Need deliverables were for. Here's what we're talking about doing in 2025. We're talking about helping transition individuals and families into Sherwood Residency Program, continuing to service debt as it comes, to implement leadership pipeline and training. We did a lot of getting the pipeline ready. Now it's on the training side. Supporting additional missional partners. We have a number of incredible opportunities that God is bringing up, and we don't want to miss some of those Kairos moments. And then adding 10 new languages translated and formatted for print for thisisthegospel.com. Now, I want to give you this last piece. I know I'm going over it. That's okay. It's a Sunday morning. We got nothing to do other than hang out together as a family. So here it is. All right. So if you're wondering, why do we put so much time in different languages? Well, I'll give you one example of that. About 10 years ago, we were approached by a group called Training Pastors International. They asked if we would put This Is the Gospel in Spanish because they work with 1,700 pastors a year in Central and South America. And they said, we need discipleship and evangelism resources. Would you help us out? We went down for 3 years training their equippers who were going to train 1,700 different pastors. And they just put out their report this last week for 2024. Here's what happened this last year in that ministry. They saw 6,323 professions of faith in Christ, 3,160 people baptized, and they started 376 new churches in Central and South America this last year. That's one of those partners. So when we talk about 10 new languages, that's 10 different people groups that we get a chance to engage with the gospel, that we get a chance to train and what it looks like to know Christ and to make him known. So here's what we're asking for 2025. We're asking that God would help us to raise a million in 2025. Again, it's above and beyond giving. But that million would go towards those different endeavors. So my ask for you is simple. Pray and ask God where he would have you and your family to be involved. And then respond accordingly. Our first fruits offering is going to be January 26th. That's first fruits, that's pledge day. Now, if you happen to know where God is leading you before that, feel free to drop that little card. I'm going to share with you all. This is going to be given to you all as you go out the doors. You can drop that card in the offering plate, and we will gladly take it before the 26th of January. But we are asking that by the 26th, that as many as possible, you've had a chance to pray and say, God, how would you have us to be involved? Here's the thing. When we seek his kingdom, he takes care of all the other pieces around the way. When we turn our focus into these four walls and just focusing on our needs in here, it's amazing how many of those other opportunities get shut down. God is inviting us into an adventure of a lifetime, of walking with him, pursuing him in every part of life. Would you bow with me for prayer? Heavenly Father, we ask as the service closes out that God, you would remind us again and again and again of the importance of what it looks like to walk with you, to trust you, to live beyond just going to work and paying bills, but to walk in faith and to seek you in every single part of life. Lord, may our eyes never just be about what's happening right here at Sherwood. But God, may our eyes look out to how you're inviting us to engage in your kingdom activity locally, regionally, and globally. Lord, we thank you for what you have done. We praise you for what you have done. Lord, we want to be so careful that we don't take any part of the glory for that. God, it's a point of celebration and to point all eyes back towards you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for what you've done. We're grateful in Jesus' name. Amen. There's going to be pastors and pastors' wives that will be along the front. There's going to be counselors as well. As we are getting started on this new year and the focus of seeking Him and pursuing God, I just want to encourage you, if God has been prompting you, maybe not even in this service, but in weeks or months past, to seek Him or pursue Him, I encourage you to take those next steps of obedience with Him. If you would stand with me at this time, there's going to be a final song of invitation. The altar is open. Would you respond with hymn?